Okay, so we're going to start again from the Isnim Aleim Chumrei, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines before the end of the narrow lines, 108. Isnim Aleim Chumrei. Fetik Amar Lamai Hukasel. What Chumra of Kahanim are
you? Margaret, did you start the recording?
Yes, I did.
Thank you, I'm sorry.
Amar Abba, you're the second person to ask me. Amar Abba. The Mechasim, the Kmetis, Kemenchus Yisrael, Vein and Achelus, Kemenchus Kahanim. It has the Chumra of a Kayav, Kemenchus Yisrael, that needs Kemitza. But the leftovers can't be eaten like a Menchus Kahanim. And we learned the Rashi yesterday that a Menchus Kahanim has to be totally burnt. A Menchus Yisrael needs a Kemitza. Frank the Gemara, so that's the Gemara, okay, so what do you do? Hakayim is Karav La'atzmai, Bashirayim Kreven Ba'atzman. First you do the kaimet and you makrib the kaimet, then you makrib everything else. Because the kaimet has to be brought by itself. You can't have more, you can't have less. It has to be an exact kaimet. So you can't put the kaimet back into everything and make one haktara. Because then the kaimet is not being brought as a kaimet. So first you make the kmitza, then you put it on the mizbeach, then you take the rest and put it on the mizbeach. So in case it's a Menachos Kayin, it all got there. For the Gemara, we got a problem. And the halacha is that you're not allowed to put extra things on the Mizrayach. If the Torah said, this is the part I want on the Mizrayach, there's a lav to put more on the Mizrayach. For instance, at Menachos Yisrael, you do Kemitza, the Kemitza goes on the Mizrayach. What if a guy says, I'll put the extra on the Mizrayach too, the lav. If the Torah wants A, the Torah wants A, not A plus. And if you do plus, you're over a lav. So here, if it's a Menachos Yisrael, you put the leftover on the Mizbeach, you're over a lav. So what's the answer? To put it all on the Mizbeach and not make Kmitza, maybe it's a Yisrael. To make Kmitza, put it on, and then put the rest on, again, if it's a Yisrael, you put extra on. Putting extra on is a lav.
Isn't extra because it's the
neighbor? No, it's a custom.
Who's getting the rest?
The kayan to eat.
Oh.
The kayan decides to put it on.
Or even he can't.
Nobody can.
Oh, I thought it was because Yisrael's taking it away from
him. No, nobody can. It's a generous custom. So the Gemara Ikri Khan, why don't we apply the rule? Of kol shemi menu le'ishim, anything that part of it is supposed to go on the fire, haru b'bal taktiru, it's a lav to offer the rest. And over here, if he's Yisrael, by putting on the rest, you're offering a lav. Rashi, ikri kat, Rashi, heichi matzim maktelu l'shirayim. How can it be maktel the leftovers? Duma mechus Yisraeli, perhaps it's a mechus Yisrael. B'shirayim gemurim heim, and these are leftovers. Varehim b'bal taktiru. You're not allowed to put it in the mizbeach. L'chziv. L'taktiru mimenu isha l'ashem. So we say, kol shimimenu l'ishim. Anything that part of it went on the fire, shenikter emenu dover haroi l'hakter, that you burnt the part that was supposed to be burnt. Harashirayim b'bal taktiru. The rest of it is a lav. So here you're stuck between a rock and a hard place. You can't not put it on, because it might be a Milchus Kayin. You can't put it on, because it's a Milchus Yisrael, and putting the extra on is violating a lav.
Regular Yisrael, what did
they
do in the
main name? Yisrael? Go, Kehanim eat it. And for the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon ben Pazi, the Masik Ulushim, Eitzim Kribal Azar. Okay, so this is a Machloikus, a Masech Tzvakim. Talking about you have the limbs of a chatos mixed into the limbs of an ayla. Two different kinds of kabanas. Ayla has to be totally consumed in the mizbeach. Chatos is supposed to be eaten by the kahanim. So Rav Lazar says, put it on the mizbeach. Everything. So they asked the kasher Rav Lazar, what do you mean? The Torah said, if you have to bring the emurim, the fat, the rest is a lav. You're not allowed to put more on that's supposed to go on. By putting everything on the mizbeach, you're violating a lav. So Rabbi Eliezer offers the following solution, Rabbi Eliezer. He says, You're not allowed to put it on as a carbon. But if you say, if this is not a carbon, it should be firewood, it should be fuel, that you're allowed to do. So you can take the extra mincha and say, if this is a kayin, I'm burning it for a carbon. If this is a Yisrael, it's fuel. There is to be makter as a carbon. You're speaking out. But if it's a Yisrael, I don't mean to do this as a carbon. I mean to add extra fuel to the Mizrayach. The Blazer says this, limbs of a chattas and limbs of an ayla. Limbs of a chattas have to be, limbs of an ayla have to be burnt. They're mixed up. You don't know what to do. I want to say, can't do anything. By the way, in that case, the kabbanas are kosher, because they did the Shrika Saddam, and whatever happens to the limbs is only preferable. It's not ma'akim. It doesn't possibly carve. So Rabbanu say, just leave it. Let it become nicer and burn it. And Rabbanu says, burn it on the Mizveyach. And the Gemara says, Sir Blaz, how can you do that? You're not allowed to put extra on. So Blaz says, you say that if this is the chat, this is for firewood.
Rabbi Margaretha?
Good thing, Rablazer.
Sorry. Could you kindly ask people to mute themselves?
Put on. And you put on the rest and say, if a D is wrong, this is you on the Mizveyach. Talk to you tomorrow.
Rabbi Margaretha?
Yes, yes.
Rabbi Margaretha? Could you kindly ask people to mute themselves?
Can everybody please mute themselves? Thank you. I don't know if anybody else is off, but if they're on, they should mute themselves. Dr. Gemara. Amar of Yudhi, Rebbe of Shimon, Mepazi, the Masikul, the Shem, Eitzim, to Reb Lazer. He brings it for wood, like Reb Lazer, the Tanya. Lazer, I remember. L'reich nichayach yatim ala. The Pasik says, L'tekirim menu isha l'Hashem. In the Pasik it says, L'alam izbeach l'yalu l'reich nichayach. The truth is, the pasuk, if you read it, is not talking about the leftover of the carbon. It's talking about you're not allowed to put honey or a sa'ar on the mizbeach. So it says, "Yichol sa'ar v'chol devash, v'sakiru mimenu isha l'Hashem." Right? It says the pasuk there, "Lo yalu l'reich nichayach." So from the word mimenu, we darshan. Any carbon that has part of it on, the rest can't go on. But the pasuk also says the reich nichayach. So blazer dashens, it's only if you put it on for a carbon. But if you put it on for fuel, it's okay. Rashi, it's right after that pasuk. Most of the blazer is welcome. The Perikat Harubis, it's the Ace Perikat Zvachim. Gabi Avorikatas, I'm sorry, it's the Ace Perikat Zvachim. Gabi Avorikatas, and the Sarva Bevar Ayla. By the limbs of the Katas that got mixed into the limbs of the Ayla. Rablazar Rabbi Yenasnu Kulum Lamala put it on the Mizveach. Vero Anias, Bsara Katas, and Shirayim. I view the meat of the Katas, which is leftovers, Ubabal Taktiru, and it's a lav, Kiluay Natsim. The Kivan Lamachavan Lakturi. You're not interested in burning extra. Lavaktori, it's not called burning it for carbon. This way you save the oila. Let it go overnight. And burn it the next day.
Is that carbon?
Yes.
One has a yud, I think.
Correct.
Why is there confusion about
those? Yes, many times. In this case, it says it's Rabbi Lazar. I think in Zvonkin we call him Rabbi Yazar, but I'm not sure.
Well, here's the
parentheses
Lazar in the box.
I don't have anything here.
No,
that's
Eliezer, it's in a box that usually means that's the one for.
I don't have that here. See, you have your print. I don't have it in my print.
So Eliezer has a yud in it. Why the
remember, all these Gemaras were handwritten, right? So I remembered as Rabbi Eliezer from Zvachim. Here I saw Rabbi Lazar. I don't have the box. No, it was orally transmitted until it was written. And then it was written, it was copied by hand. So you can have differences in girsas. Every time Rashi says Chachi Gersidon, and he copies our Gemara, it's because Rashi had in front of him different versions of the Gemara. Slightly different versions. And he had to tell you which is the right one.
Why don't the Chachamim, they don't like this idea? Why not?
I don't know why they don't hold on this Rashi. The Gemara says in Zvachim, the Gemara goes through it. Zvachim Gemara, Hanichel or Blazer. This solution works according to Eliezer. Ella, the Rabbanon, Mayikil Meimar. But the Rabbanon disagree. What do they do for this Mincha? He's either a Kayin or Yisrael. You can't put it on and say it's fuel. So what are you going to do? And you can't put on extra. Zakti Gemara, the Avod Lakar, Blazer, Reb Shimon. What you do is Reb Blazer, Reb Shimon's solution. Now, it's an interesting solution, but Reb Blazer, Reb Shimon says this. Now, he says it by a different case, and we're taking what he said and cross-applying it to our case. The case he's talking about is a Kayan who went into the Beis HaMikdash when he's coming. B'shaykik. So the Torah over there writes three kinds of korbanos: the rich, the poor, the very poor. The very poor bring a mincha. Anybody that walks into the Beis HaMikdash when he's tameh, the Torah prescribes one of three korbanos. If the guy can afford it, he brings an animal. If he's poor, he brings two birds. And if he's poorer than that, in this case, the Torah allows him to bring a mincha as the kapara. In that parsha, it says, "V'haysa l'kayin k'mincha," and it should be to the kayin like a mincha. Reb Lazar, Reb Shimon darshins that "V'haysa l'kayin k'mincha" means it should be like a Yisrael's mincha. That it needs a kmita. And the Gemara says, but what are you going to do with the rest? It can't be eaten. Tehanim's mincha completely burnt. But here's the Torah wrote, treat it like a minchas Yisrael, which means do kmita. So what are you supposed to do with the rest? So Reb Lazar, Reb Shimon says, his solution is that what you do is you put the chaymet on the mizbeach, and the rest are not eaten, but not burned. They are put where possible kabbalas are put, where the ashes, where things are burnt that are not good. So you're not eating it, and you're not putting it on the mizbeach. It's consumed in fire, but not on the mizbeach. That's his solution. So we want to use that solution over here. You would put the kmita in the mizbeach, and the rest you would scatter where they have ashes, where they put the trumas hadeshim, where they put the things that belong, are burnt, or are swallowed into the ground, and that's where they put it.
But how is this typically begun? Your mincha is in a bowl.
Yes.
You do the finger thing. You pick it up. Are you giving this now?
Yisrael brings the mincha and still gives it to the kayan and he's gone. He gives the bowl.
The kmita is taken by the kohen.
Right.
He's the hand expert.
Correct.
He has it in a bowl.
Okay, see, if you really want to know, this is the way it works. Yisrael brings the mincha and he gives it to the kayan. The kayan mixes it with oil or whatever has to be done. All ingredients provided by the Yisrael. But it's the actual avayit is done by the kayin. It's in a bowl. The kayin does the kmita and puts the kmita in a second bowl.
After the mixture. So it's a wet mixture.
Yes. Or a baked mixture, depending on the type of mincha. Some of those minchas are baked already.
I'm trying to figure out. I was picturing a dry grain. That would be... How would he get the extra over the ashes? Where is he? Is he by the altar?
He's in the Azara. And He puts that handful into another bowl. That's called Kiddush Kli. He has to put it into a second bowl. I don't know the answer to that question. Right. Let's do Rashi. Then they take the bowl to the Mizbeach and pour it on the fire.
The remnant bowl,
the Kayanim take and do whatever they want with it. They eat it. That's what's done by Milchus Yisrael. At Milchus Kayan, no Kamitza is done. You take the whole bowl, take it straight to the Mizbeach, and pour it out.
So which one's over?
Now, here, it's a question whether he's a Kayan or Yisrael. So we have to do the Kamitza and bring the Kamitza, and then we have the leftover that can't be eaten, because he might be a Kayan. We don't know how to deal with that leftover.
But he hasn't used it all up on the Mizbeach.
No, because he might be Yisrael. And Yisrael is only allowed it. And Mincha of Yisrael can only have a kaimitz put on.
Right.
Let's see the Rashi and Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon. Gabi Kayan HaMatame Hegdish. A Kayan that made Hegdish Tameh, B'dali Dalus, he's very poor. Shemevi Mincha Schaite. It's called a Mincha of a sinner. The custom of a mincha schaite, the hoysil a kayin kamincha, says to be like a kayin, like a mincha. Kleimer, im chait is that kayin who? If this chait is a kayin, by writing the extra word, the hoysil a kayin kamincha, well, isn't it a mincha? What do you mean it should be the kayin like a mincha? Are he kamincha tishol? Ma mincha tishol nikmetzes? Av mincha schaite shakahanem nikmetzes. Just like a mincha of Yisrael kamit is done, mincha of kahanem kamit is done as well. So maybe the leftover should be eaten like by Israel. It says by a kayet, it should be completely burnt. You bring both together. Divrei Rabbi Elazar, Divrei Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon says both parts are put in the Mizbeach. Both parts are put in the Mizbeach, but separately. Because you do a kmita like a Yisrael, but a kayin's milk has to be completely burnt. So Reb Shimon says, very simple. Go put one on the Mizbeach, and then put the other on the Mizbeach. And it's not extra. This is what the Torah said to do by a kayin's minchas chaytay. Reb Elazar, Reb Shimon Eimer, his son, argues on him. He says, no. Hakayin Reb Karev L'atzmai. Vashirayim ispazrim abeis hadeshen. L'mata mokum shenoyslim shem tumus hadeshen. The leftovers, don't put it in the Mizbeach. Put it on the Beis Hadeshen, where you put the Trumas Hadeshen every morning on the side of the Mizbeach. The Hanaita, and the feathers of the bird. The Hainu Eitzel HaMizbeach. The Atkan Lepligi Rabbanon Aleibam, the Shraim Kravim. The Rabbanon Reb Shimon, his father, said, you bring it on the Mizbeach. Elba Milchas Chaytikayin, the Sfir Lukhlu Batakrabi. Because they hold everything has to be burnt to Milchas Nidvasai. It's a Kayin's Mincha. Here you're stuck. You can't put it on the Mizbeach because he might be Yisrael, Shem Zeru. Mishraim Gemurim, there might be leftover in Baltak Ziru. So this is a new solution. Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon introduced a new solution. Now, we don't necessarily use his solution in his case, but in this case, it's a perfect solution. Over there, the Torah said, treat the Minchas Chayta of a Kayan like a Minchas Yisrael, which means you do Kamitza, which means the Kamitza is offered by itself. What do you do with the leftovers? So Reb Shimon says, put it on afterwards. Doesn't say don't. You have to bring the whole thing. Every Minchas Kayan has to be completely burnt. So put on the Kamitza and then put on everything else. So it's different than a regular Minchas Kayan. What?
It's firewood.
No, you don't have to do it for firewood. Because this is a Milchus Kayan. He's a definite Kayan. He's a definite Kayan. So even though the Torah insisted on a Kmitza by this kind of a Milchus Kayan, the Torah did not mean to say don't bring the rest. The Torah meant to say do it in two increments. Do the Kmitza, then do the rest. Reb Elazar Reb Shimon said no. The Torah meant to say you don't put on the rest of the Mizbeach. But at the same time, the Torah said it can't be eaten. So Reb Elazar Reb Shimon says, we have a new solution. Don't put it on the Mizbeach and don't eat it.
That's
by a Kayan. And he says that the Torah put you in an awkward position. It said, make a kmitza. To him, that means don't put the rest on. But at the same time, the Torah said it has to be completely burnt. So what we do is we burn it somewhere else. We burn it by the Beis Hadeshen, not on the Mizbeach. That's his solution. So over there, there's an argument. Here, everybody can use Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon's solution. You don't know if he's a Kohen or Yisrael. Take the kmitza and put it on the Mizbeach. The rest, you can't eat it, you might be a Kohen. You can't burn it, you might be Yisrael. Put it on the Beis Hadeshen.
And that satisfies the Kohen's
obligation? That's what Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon taught us. That's enough to satisfy Kol Sieloi Seyachol.
It doesn't have to be on the Mizbeach.
Correct. That's his Kiddush.
Is it considered like burning? Or I'm trying to say it's like an animal. If you have a room, you let it until it gets a moon. You know, let it just melee become. Yeah. So over here, it seems like you have to do a pool. Well, it's just like
let it rot.
I mean, is that nice?
I guess they felt this is the better solution. Because you are consuming it in a holy way, but not on the Mizbeach. Now, without Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon, we would never consider such an option.
Why?
It's not on the Mizbeach. But Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon introduced it. He introduced it somewhere else. There, the Rabbanan argue, because they say you can put it on the Mizbeach. But the concept that he introduced is something that we can cross-apply over here. Let's do it inside of the Gemara. Tanya Reb Elazar Reb Shimon Ayin Rakhay Mitzkar V'Latzmai V'Shirayim Mitzpazrin or scattered on Beis Hadeshen where the ashes are. Hilu Rabbanu L'Bliyanay Reb Elazar Reb Shimon Minchas Chayt V'Shekahal L'Davat HaKrabi. They argue over there because there's a better solution. Avul Halka Hilu Rabbanu Baidu. So at the end of the day, we have two options. You know, Dr. Eliezer, you put it all in the Mizbeach for firewood. So if it's a Kayan, it's bringing the carbon. If it's Yisrael, this is fuel. You know, Dr. Rabbanan, that's not an option. Option number two is Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon. Put the Kaimitz on and put the rest on Beis Hadeshen, which is a whole new concept that there's a medium way of doing it to satisfy the need of burning it, but not on the Mizbeach. Obviously, it's on the Azara, and it's obviously where you put the Trumas Hadeshen, which has Kedusha. So,
you have to put the Puzzle Animals.
What?
Puzzle Animals.
Well, Rashi says you didn't put Puzzle Animals there, you put it where you didn't put Puzzle Animals. Taisa says you put it where you put puzzle animals, but Tabashi learns you put it where you didn't put puzzle animals.
And that when we mix up the oil and the hops, you can't do that there because you need the mizbeach for the other parts. Right?
Well, you have to put the oil on.
That's right. So that's why.
That's not a solution there.
Right.
No.
The puzzle animals do not have kedusha, right?
Should have kedusha.
So where are they burned? Or where did it happen to them?
So it depends. If it's Kach Kedashim, it was burnt in the Azara, if it's Kachim Kalim. It was burnt in Yerushalayim.
Not over here, not on
in a different place in Nazareth.
Not on the Beis Hadeshen.
No.
The Trumas Hadeshen.
Yes.
Is it Ashi?
Yeah, you're going to be a good candidate for Trumas Hadeshen because the Gehanim had to get up early in the morning to do Trumas Hadeshen.
He does it every day.
So you'd be unbelievable. You'd be a great candidate to do Trumas Hadeshen. The problem is, you have to run up the steps on the ramp. You need those shots fast.
Medically, that will be a problem. That would be a problem.
Why would that make
you
feel bad?
I make you feel bad. I'm saying you're going to make Trumas Hadeshen.
So hopefully by Tuesday, after
right.
I give the doctor the wine, he'll be able to do it. But my other question is, Trumas Hadeshen
an age requirement?
What?
Isn't there an age requirement?
He's too young.
You think he's too old? By a Kayan, you can do Avayin until his hands start trembling.
Yeah?
Yeah. By a Levi, there's more restrictions. Yeah. A Kayan can do it with Vayda until he becomes old enough that his hands start trembling. They talk. But the truth is, they don't run up to Mizbeach anymore. They do a pious, they do a Gairo, so you'll be fine. But only the people who get up early.
Is it
true
that Hashemana?
Yes.
Until when? The whole time?
Forever. That's where Dasha was. Rashi's just telling you where it was. That's what the Tumas HaDasha was. He's telling you where to put it. No, that's not the drush. Dr. Mishnah Vaitu. Me, Shalisha, I was trying to give you a compliment on a
Chatzisha. I don't like compliments.
Me, Shalisha, Achar Baila Shalisha Chadash. A woman is supposed to wait 90 days in between the death of divorce of her first husband in order to marry a second time. And the reason for that is, in case she's pregnant, we'll never know who the father of the child is, because it might be a 9-month pregnancy of number one or a 7-month pregnancy of number two. And she didn't wait, this lady. V'yolda, v'nasa v'yolda, as she gave birth. 6 months after she got married to the second husband, she got married 2 months after her husband died. 7 months later, she had a baby. We have no idea whether it's father, husband number one. Who is the father of this child? Husband number one or husband number two? So what do we do? Well, we haven't gotten there. You haven't let the Mishnah talk yet. We're taking a cake. There was no Yibum to this woman, no. Ben Yiduim Ben Tisha L'Rishon and Ben Shiva L'Achron. A 9-month baby for one or a 7-month baby for two. Hayil Abanim and L'Rishon Abanim and Asheni. The husbands, each husband, had his own children, paternal brothers, to this suffix. He's either related to family one or to family two. He has no idea. And he dies. And
the wife, the woman had children.
What?
The wife had children from both the first and second husband.
Yes. She had other children from both the first and second husband. And now he died. One of them, one set, is his paternal, again.
Yeah.
Leah married Reuven, had a family. Reuven, let's say for this case, he died. 2 months later, she married Shimon, illegally, but she did it. She had a child from 7 months later, and we have no idea whether Reuven's the father or Shimon's the father. Meanwhile, Leah has more children with Shimon.
Later.
Which are good. We know who they are. They're Shimon's children. So now he dies without children, this suffix.
The one in the middle.
The one in the middle. Now, one of Set is his paternal brothers and maternal brothers. The other Set is only maternal brothers. So you can't allow Yibum, because they might be marrying a maternal brother's wife. But they both have to give Chalitza, because one of them is the paternal brother. Harelu Cholzen, Lemiyabin. If one of them died without children, he can't do Yibum, because it might be his maternal brother. So if he's the only brother to that one child of the other one, he can do Chalitza, but no Yibum. This is a good case for DNA, but I don't know if we would do DNA. Rashi Cholzen Lemiyabin, Lishto Shosam Exabinei, Rishon Cholzen Shem Ben Aviyamayim. Maybe he's their father's son, Vloimiyabin. Shem Ben Achlin, who? Maybe he's the second one. Varachemine, then they're maternal brothers. Vloimiyab, as well, they're Makoris. Vachemine Achlin, Vachemine Achlin, and Shosam, the same is true for him to their wives. How you like all this? Kind of. How you like Achim and Arishim, Vachim and Asheni, Shaloima, I say. What if he had the first one, Reuven, had sons from a different woman, and Shimon had sons from a different woman. So they're for sure only paternal brothers. One is a paternal brother and one is a stranger. So, who chayla to miyabim? He can either do chalitza or yibum marashem. Either it's his brother's wife or it's a stranger. V'hein, echad chayla techa miyabim. If he dies, one of the two sets does chalitza, the other one can marry. Right? Because you can only marry one, and it might be the wrong one. So one does chalitza, the other one can marry her. Rashi, Chayle Achim and Arishim and Achad, Shaloi my say, who I chayle to Miyab, Lashis ben Arishim and Achim or I type, his brother, that's great. Then Lav, if it's not his brother, Nachris the Atlas, she's a stranger.
He's
going to eat Achim, who is the only brother. The lack of the suk can be Yavama Lashuk. You don't have to worry about Yavama Lashuk. Yes.
They really both
want to
marry.
Fight it out. Fight it out. There is no Kadima. Call in a arbitrator. Call in a professional negotiator. What am I supposed to tell you? Call in a rav and he'll tell them both that they should have L'shem Shemayim in mind. What do you want? Flip a coin. Another way of deciding this kind of thing. But hey, by the way, this is crucial. Because she might be a multi-billionaire. She might have inherited Hans, right? She might be a multi-billionaire. Whoever marries her is going to be very, very rich. And they both want to be the one to marry her. Now try to persuade one of them to give it up. It's a much harder thing. There's no problem. Because you got chalitza. Okay, now we complicate matters. That was step one. One of the husbands was Yisrael, and the other one was a Kayan. So now this baby is either a Kayan or Yisrael. Very similar to the case we had when you had mixed up babies. In the last Mishnah. But now, these are all born Jewish. No Eved, no Shivcha. One is Yisrael, one is a Kayan. So nice Yisrael a Kayan, he has to marry a woman that can marry a Kayan. And a Metame L'Mesim. He's not allowed to be a Metame L'Mesim. Then it may decide because I'm wrong. We can't give him out because he might not be a Kayan. Ain't like a Truma, he doesn't need Truma. But if he does, he has no monetary obligation because as we said earlier in the week, the burden of proof is on the one who wants to collect the money. He cannot get on the field. He can't go out to the granary. He might not be a kayan. How can we give him truma? He's not allowed to eat it. If he has his own truma, he can sell it and keep the money. He can't go to the thing, say, well, I might belong to your mishmar. Can I please have some skins? And they'll say to him, you might not belong to our mishmar. Have a wonderful day. You can't give him kachim. But if he comes with his own korbanos, remember we talked about it last time, either you can pick a kayin, that was Rashi's first shot, and Rashi's second shot was, if he has his own bechor, he doesn't have to give it to a kayin to bring. He can keep it till it gets a mum. Upatim and Azariah v'chayayim v'keivam. And on his animals, every Yisrael has a chiyuv to give the kayin. Right front foot, cheekbone and tongue, and one in the stomach. He doesn't have to give it. Again, it's a monetary question. And he says, prove that I'm not a kayin. No, it's a certain stomach. It's called the kebab. A cow has four stomachs, and one of them is called the kebab. Separates it and sells it. Can't eat it. He said, he's strong, can't eat challah. His bechor grazes until it gets a mum. And then he can keep it. The nice of Chumri Kaan and Chumri Yisrael is the same that we just talked about, how he treat his mincha.
Would you see any difference at all? Would you see any difference between the case we had yesterday and now?
Well, he's not an Eved. That's all. That case was an Eved.
I understand that.
No. Except that he's not in heaven. That's the difference. Okay, let's catch up with Rashi until we go to the next case, which is Dr. Rashi. Ain't Saipik Domalav Kayinu. Who ain't in Aleim? the Chumra, Shem is Ha'aviv, maybe it's his father, Asvaiter, who ended up laying his Vaiter. Okay. Now, we get into more complicated things, and the Gemara is going to have to sort this out, but we will do our best. You can take Adam whoever you want. Boom. It gets into the problem if he has both parents, is he allowed to take cottage with somebody else?
How do they call them?
And what about Easter? These are all customs. Again, in my limited knowledge, I don't believe saying cottage is mentioned in the Gemara. It's passing the halacha. But it comes from the fact that we want to do something for the benefit of the deceased. I don't think it's passed in the Gemara to say in Kaddish or davening for Amud. All those things are schusim that Shulchan Aruch says is good to do for a mifter.
How about fighting for the Amud?
What?
How about fighting for the
Amud? How about fighting for Amud? I have no idea. What? No, it's not in the Gemara.
No, on the stuff. People are doing it to their father's
dad,
they're fighting.
Because this is the link, he would get Achron or Mafter also.
He would get Achron or Mafter, correct. Now it gets a little bit more complicated.
Lady.
I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. What? That, yeah. The Shlishim Shiv are mentioned in the Gemara, yes. Yes, so that's coming up. How you Shneim Kehanim? What happens if both these men were Kehanim? Father one, father two. Husband one, husband two. Both Kehanim. So he's definitely a Kayan. Who Ainan Aleyim? Vehein Ainan Malav. And they die. So the day they die, he's an Aina. He can't eat Kachim. Can't do Avaida.
Either one.
Either one of the two. Because Misafik, we have to be Machmer.
No,
what he's asking is why does that have to do with Shneim Kehanim? Even if one is a Kain and one is a Yisrael and they die, he's an Ein and Alei and Bein Ein and Mayon and Olaf.
It's really,
you're right. This has nothing to do. I mean, the only difference is he can't do Avaida. If he wouldn't be doing Avaida anyway. He wouldn't be eating Kachim anyway. So that's why it's by Kahanim. But the next halacha, who ain't a matamah behem, they ain't a matamah law. He can only be matamah to his relative. He doesn't know if this is his relative. A kain's allowed to be matamah to his father, but he doesn't know whose dad is. Now this is a problem. Because what happened to the first husband?
He died.
So then, of course, he's not matamah. He wasn't born yet. Then the second one couldn't marry her. If he did, he's a cholol. How do you have two fathers that are Kahanim, both alive, and she married the second one?
He can't marry the Nusa. Kohen cannot marry
the Nusa. Oh, that means there's Nus.
Well.
There was no marriage. So this is what the Gemara is going to discuss. I'm just pointing it out that we've just had a complicated case. Both are alive, and it's saying that the kid can't be matama to either one of the two. How do you have two Kahanim married to the same woman without him being a cholol? If he died, then there's no first father. And if he didn't die, he divorced her, then there's no second father that's a kayin. That he's a cholol. Gemara is going to deal with it. We'll leave it for the Gemara. Who ain't him a time of lahem? Bain him a time of life. Who ain't a Yarish Isam? Abahim Yarish and my son. He doesn't inherit them because each set of brothers can say to him, have a nice day, you're not our brother. Prove it. And they inherit him, meaning they can get together and say, listen, we'll split it 50-50. One of us is his father. So we get that heir to him. And if he wounds or curses one of those two men, we can't punish him. It might not be his father. He's a Kayan. So he goes to serve in the Mishmar. Right? And they can't refuse his right to serve. That's not monetary. He's a Kayan. The Gemara will elaborate on this. But when it comes to splitting up, they'll say, prove you're from our Mishmar. You want to serve? You want some stuff? You're not from our Mishmar. 100%. They're both
Kayan. How can you serve?
Why not?
It's not for the Mishmar.
So, okay, so that's the Gemara we're going to discuss. And, if they're both in the same Mishmar, he can come and say, listen, I belong to this Mishmar 100%. So I get a Chalik. You don't have to know who my dad is. I belong to this Mishmar. They both were members of this Mishmar.
It's called
it. Get a Chalik, correct. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, who... Aynan alayim luchumra. Shemaz avizel aviv b'yay misasar asuzel echel kachim. Shemanin is chalalov. V'chein ein ein olav. B'yay maizay asurim shneim b'kachim. They both gonna need kachim. The Gemara, part of the Gemara, the Gemara is gonna ask, keichi dami di shneim chayim. How could they both be alive? In time of begrusha, amai hu ein matam el arishim. Why can't even matam it in the first one? If b'nayu are taiv, it made it b'nayu chalalov. He's either his son or he's from the second husband who married a grusha. So he's not a kayan. The kid's not a kayan. A chol is not a kayan. He has no restrictions of guna. No rights, no restrictions. The fire is Gemara. Who are the Irish? I sum the Yarshav, Matchen, Oite, Elu, Eite, Elu. Each set says, not our brother. The Hain Yarshav, I say. The Mima Akiva Yadam. Who's going to stop them? There's no other Yarshim. They can come together and say, one of our groups gets it, let's split it 50-50. Rabbi Maman Amotu Masavik, Mechol Kabesh Nehem, they'll split it. They're the closest Yarshim. We don't know which family he belongs to. So if the two families get together, they can work it out. V'ayilim b'mishmar al-avayit, v'ayim b'nei mishmar ma'akim alav, they can't stop him from serving. Av'ayin ha'chaylik, but he can't get a chelik because each mishmer will say, money? Prove it. The Gemara is going to say, how can he work? Let him say, prove it that you belong to our mishmer. We don't want you to work here. That's the Gemara is going to talk about. Don't think about it, Dachla Mimchlev V'Hadi Yavumi. In the case when he had only paternal brothers in both of them, right? One of them gives chalitza, and one of them can marry his wife. But the chalitza has to be first, because aviyavuma bereishit loy the kapabi givam alushuk, because we don't know who is the real brother, and therefore it might be the wrong one that marries her. So first we have to make sure that one of them gives chalitza.
Always done the gemara.
What?
Always done the gemara.
Every time.
Every time the Gemara repeats this 100 times in your moment. That's a great, you know, by the way, I love that comment. That means that it sunk in.
No, I'm serious. Why
are
you so upset that it repeated
it?
I mean,
you photographed
like my daughter-in-law's brother.
Right, here we go. He had two paternal brothers. First, chalitza, then yivumi. It might be his other guy's brother. He might not be the brother.
So therefore, we have to wait for Chalitza. That eliminates the chance that he's marrying Yibam or Lashok. And either he's getting Yibam or he's not getting Yibam, but he's not doing it either, so it's fine. What? What do you mean? So that twin can do Yibam. 100%. He's a definite brother. And he would inherit his twin. Not really. I mean, if he's a Vadai Der Suffolk, yes. Correct. If the woman had twins, they're definite brothers. That would eliminate a lot of the problems.
But the person grabs something now on the book, how does that ever fit in? It's not for here, it's for Baba Basra.
It's a big shaila if you grab something after the suffix is there, whether it works or not.
Right.
We paskin the tfisa akar shenayla the suffix doesn't count. You can't grab something once the thing is already up in the air. You can have grab it and then create that when it comes up in the air, you have it already. But that's not a sugya for you. I mean, we can always talk about it, but it's in Baba Basra.
I'm just asking what, you know, we never said.
The Taisa Zabez in Baba Basra, Rashi and Dabhe in Baba Basra. Dabdalin, I'm sorry.
I'm still on Dabhe's on. I had no idea.
Nothing about that. I'm a Shmuel. Now Shmuel's going to say halacha. I'm going to read Shmuel's halacha, and the discussion will be left for tomorrow. Asara kahanim imdim. There are 10 kahanim who pirish echa mehem who bow. One of these 10 kahanim had a relationship with a woman and fathered a child out of wedlock. And we have no idea which of the 10 is the one that fathered the child. Savlat Shtuki. The kid is called a Shtuki. Now the Gemara is going to want to know, what does that mean? He's a kosher Jew. In fact, he's a kosher Kayan. His father was a Kayan. Shtuki usually means we tell him, don't ask questions. For what purpose are we telling him not to ask questions? He's not a mamzer. We know the father is one of these ten. Usually, if we don't know who his father is, we say, you know, you're better off just keep quiet. Here, he knows his father is a kayan. So, to be discussed tomorrow, Mary Shepard.